And welcome again to Healing with the Arts, and Mary and I are here tonight with Dr. Gene Watson. And the title of Gene's presentation tonight is The Universality of Caring Science and the Artistry of Our Shared Humanity. And tonight, Gene is going to be talking about the role of the artist in unleashing the human spirit, the unity of this across all cultures, and how you can rediscover the artist within, and how all of this is related to finding deeper meaning in life and creating spaces for healing. Now, Dr. Gene Watson is a distinguished professor and dean emerita of the University of Colorado, Denver College of Nursing, and is a fellow of the American Academy of Nursing. She previously served as dean of nursing at the University Health Sciences Center and is a past president of the National League for Nursing. And her latest activities include being the founder and director of the nonprofit foundation Watson Caring Science Institute. Jean earned undergraduate and graduate degrees in nursing and psychiatric mental health nursing and holds her PhD in educational psychology and counseling. She's a widely published author and recipient of many awards and honors, including the Fetzer Institute Norman Cousins Award, an International Kellogg Fellowship in Australia, a Fulbright Research Award in Sweden, and most recently, in 2013, she was designated a living legend by the American Academy of Nursing. In fact, clinical nurses and academic programs throughout the world use her published works on the philosophy and theory of human caring. And Dr. Watson's caring philosophy is used to guide transformative models of caring and healing practices in diverse settings worldwide. And she's here with us tonight. Welcome to Healing with the Arts, Dr. Watson.
Thank you so much, and I'm delighted to be here and share this work with you and Mary and all the other amazing speakers that are on this program. And I have the special privilege of talking about caring science in relation to arts and beauty and really going back to the blueprint of Nightingale and bringing us forward in terms of very postmodern ways and helping us to see the artistry of our very shared humanity that's universal in our world, and how we actually are able to use art as a way to evolve in our consciousness and expand us as humans, where we actually touch a higher dimension of our reality. And I draw upon some of the works in Caring Science that informs us, the work of Emmanuel Levinas, and he talks about totality. We are at a point in time we can either totalize our humanity or allow for the infinite evolution of our consciousness and our evolved human dimensions of our shared experiences in the world. And in a way, then, that touches into the moral dimension of art and how the totalizing of our humanity has dangerous consequences if we don't bring the artist in us to birth this new dimension of our reality. Because when we totalize our humanity, we have the danger of reducing our humanity to the moral status of an object. And when that happens, we are really totalizing and destroying humanity in our very being. Whereas when we open up to the sources of spirit and creativity and the artistry and unleashing the human spirit, connecting with the great unknowns, the mystery, which art invites us into, then we have another whole evolution that opens and expands us. And I love the notion that artists are here to disturb us. So we can't just be conformed and totalizing and shutting off our left brain so much. We're here for deeper things than society says we're for. And it's the art and the artists themselves and the artistry of our humanity, our ways of being in the world, which invite us into this new dimension. So in a way, the lifelong search for caring is helping us to lift the veil of our humanity, to reveal the sacred feminine dimension as a way of being and becoming more human and integrating the finest of the yin and yang of our reality. In a way, this artist and the artistry of our practice is in search of the beloved, or connecting us with something profound that's really beyond our day-to-day existence, and yet it connects us with our day-to-day existence and serves as an archetype for this lineage of our shared humanity across the world and across time and space. And when we step into healing arts and nurse and caring science and the healing practitioner, we begin to think about beauty and art as part of this whole dimension of our reality. Nightingale says every day a patient should have something beautiful to look at. And we know that works of art and beauty heals us. I remember having a patient tell me that they were starved for a work of art. And so this dimension of connecting with the artistry of their being human, I'm going to quote Emerson. He says, this beauty, this element of beauty, I call an ultimate end. There's no reason can be asked or given why the soul seeks beauty. Beauty in its largest and profoundest self is one expression of the universe. And I love that dimension of expanding our connection with the universe through art and the artistry of the human experience and our ways of being and becoming. And the Native American people remind us that every day we should do an act of power and an act of beauty. And I love the notion that we should shower one another with beauty, for as we do so, we bring out the beauty of another person. And Rumi's quote is beautiful, pose that we let the beauty that we are be the beauty that we do. And in this way of thinking about art and beauty, our caring acts, our caring ways of authentic presence and being become a potential act of beauty and thus an act of healing. So when we touch beauty, we touch the healing practices and attach caring as an act of beauty, whereby the one caring connects with and reflects the beauty of the soul to the one cared for. That's what I capture in my writing about the caring moment and how it's a transcendent moment. It's both immanent and transcendent. Our souls require beauty to be. How can we not honor beauty in our life and our caring practices and our institutions and our systems of healing? And yet we have detached ourselves and detoured ourselves from the very source of our humanity and what allows for evolution, and have depleted our systems of art and beauty, although we're trying to come back to it, but it's kind of a superficial fixing it up model from the outside in, a sort of a hospitality model rather than a true healing arts model going back almost to the ancient sacred dimensions of the spa where we integrate the fullness of our humanity and the beauty and art is one act for moral shaping. So in this perspective, then, we have to pay attention to the fact that the spiritual resides in art. And, of course, nursing from Nightingale on was very clear, although we've been detoured away from it, that nursing is a spiritual practice. And so the spiritual resides in art, and of course Kandinsky's view talks about this, the Russian artist, and he talks about the archetypal significance of the soul and the soul's recovery and how art can actually ensoul our world, invoking symbols and different experiences of our thoughts. And so now we're at a point where we're establishing new relationships between art and artistry, their being, our humanity, our shared humanity and healing. And so we restore artistry and creativity in our practices, our professional practices, in our lives. And that's what this series is actually bringing forth. The healing arts are emerging from our daily life, and there's a grassroots movement showing us the healing potentials in visual arts and music and dance and theater, storytelling, design, architecture, and all kinds of areas. So at least these different parts of art have been identified in some of the literature. Good example in terms of the caring science and healing models, there's art that's intended to directly heal. And this kind of art uses symbols or abstract images to promote wellness, calmness, to center our physical being, and invite us into spiritual responses. And for example, Alex Gray's Life Energy System and other works within the Sacred Mirror may be examples of this type of art. We had Alex at the University of Colorado Art Museum on campus a few years ago where his whole installation was brought out to Colorado. And we had an open reception for the community as well as an intense program on caring in the arts. And people in the public came and they literally held their hands out in front of Alex's work and they talked about how they could feel the energy and the light coming from his work. So this actually activates specific physiological responses through positive visualization, soothing scenes, and so forth. And then there's a category of art that's been created by artists to facilitate their own personal healing. And I think Mary's work very much represents this. It's art that's often autobiographical. It involves highly charged abstract or representational body images. And this is art you can see, women's art, often related to healing arts that was created at Shane's Hospital, University of Florida, medical arts program that Mary was so instrumental in initiating as a prototype for the nation. And then we have art about aspects of the healing process. For example, you have these human experiences of healing and illness that capture pain or loss or grief or body image changes, as well as hope, or even spiritual transformation related to the complexities of healing. And so you see, like, Edward Munch's The Scream would be an example of this, which is like really something that you just want to scream, the bereft person who's in grief. And then there's artist design psycho-architectural healing space, or healing as architecture. And I think this is fascinating because it's going back to psycho-architecture, or even what I would think of as sacred architecture. And so some of the new consciousness for building hospitals is almost coming back. Another turn will bring us back to the temples, the healing temple model. So where you have use of art for healing, making a conscious, intentional effort to integrate symbol and myth and archetype and metaphor and mystery into our environmental themes for healing into healthcare facilities and creating new systems and healing models. So again, you have the health spa model that may consciously attend to what I call ontological design. For example, in caring science and caring science practices, some of the work that nurses are doing and other health practitioners under caring science are reintegrating or creating what I call ontological design, both at the personal level and at the system level, architectural level, where you have to create new ways in which people can be with each other and evoke these higher dimensions of our reality for experiencing ourselves and our environment as healing space. And some of the work that's already been done in places like Hawaii and Earl Bakken's approach to build a hospital for the 21st century is an example where he had a native Hawaiian healer work with him in designing every single space of that hospital where they wanted to integrate indigenous Hawaiian belief systems and their healing culture into the traditional, conventional Western science and air worldview. And they attended to color and to plants and light, all of these things that Nightingale talked about in her original work. So again, using light, color, shape, form, lines, curves, nature, for their ability to directly heal or to facilitate personal and community healing. And now we see a lot more attention to feng shui, for example. I was just at a meeting where I wanted people to develop the chairs in a circle. And sometimes people will put these chairs in a circle, but they're not in a circle. They put them right against the wall, and there's no space between the wall and the chair, and they're all lined up really tightly. And it makes me nervous in terms of a feng shui consciousness model of energy, because then you want to move those chairs out and create flow and movement. So this energetic affirmation of their connecting so that we can flow and move is all part of art and its dimensions of helping us to access the life force and their archetypal healing energy that's often dormant, and we have to pay attention to it. I think the other thing that's really significant here about art and artistry within a caring science framework goes back to some of the shamanic cultures worldwide, and this is very indigenous, universal dimensions of our humanity. And shamanic culture describes illness as a loss of soul, and the shaman's task is to go on a journey in search of the abducted or the lost soul and return it to the sick person. And here is where you have art and artistry play a much more conscious, intentional, and prominent role. And for example, it's been noted that if you really want to heal, you have to go into an altered state of consciousness. And art allows us to transcend ourselves and to move into a higher state of consciousness. We forget the busy mind and we go into that expressive deep soul connection, a deep experience of our humanity. And so the arts help patients and practitioners to remember our soul and our deep longing for these life-affirming messages and this way of connecting with that which is greater than ourselves. So all of these are just examples that point out that art actually serves to humanize and revitalize healthcare. And for both the patient and practitioner and for society, and these healing arts within a caring science practice connect us with our deepest self, our soul, as well as with our common humanity, or what we might think of as the universal soul. So speaking of the shamanic traditions and some of the points of unity across all cultures, I love the work of Angelise Arian, and she just died, unfortunately, just at the end of April, a couple of weeks ago. A beautiful Aboriginal shaman herself, you might say, or certainly wisdom teacher, where she worked with universal questions of the cultures across time and the universality of our humanity. And she says that there are four universal questions a shaman might ask if someone is ill, which is related to this caring science, which is a larger model of our science, which connects with the life force of the universe and our shared humanity. The questions that a shaman asks when someone is ill is, when did you stop singing? And when did you stop dancing? And when did you stop being enchanted by story? When did you stop being comforted? And then what do you do to have this quiet space, or what do you do to have this tender, sweet silence and quiet space to touch the mystery and the great unknown? And that's what the arts allow for. That's what the universality of human spirit is longing for. And she also goes on and talks about the eight universals of our humanity, which connect us for caring science and for healing and maybe even for connecting eventually to peace in our world. And these are very common universal archetypes of the human soul and our human experiences that every single human needs and unites us. For example, we all have the need for food and diet for survival. But that goes beyond just food. It gets into taste and beauty and cultivation and the art of artistry of food and revisiting our mental diet, our emotional diet. What is our spiritual diet, our intuitive diet? And how just cooking and art and food can be an art in itself as expression, but it also invites us into a higher dimension of our, or maybe a deeper dimension of our own human experience. And of course, we all have the need for exercise and movement, but now we can see this as an artistic expression, the artistry of our humanity, how we move our body and dance and rhythm, drama, acting, expression. All of these performances method is becoming a methodology for nursing science and for caring science practices. And I remember when I was dean of the College of Nursing at the University of Colorado, one of the things I did, I invited musicians and artists and performing artists to come and be with us, and literature professors and so forth. And one of the experiences we had, these were on a monthly basis, and one of them was a our kinesiology chair of our kinesiology department on the Boulder campus. And she came and did this incredible movement, artistry of body movement, while a drama student quoted a poem about a woman who was in the hospital. And it was this beautiful expressivity of the movement of the human body while you could see and hear the experience that this person was undergoing internally, but they were expressively, artistically through the movement of the body. And I remember one of the things she said, just in your movement, coming into the room to touch a patient can be an act of art, an act of beauty. And Arian goes on to say, well, of course, we all need nature. And I just remember years ago with Emerson's quote, he says, nature is spirit. That we're all changing, just like nature is always changing, just like the human spirit is always changing. And Mother Earth is our home. So all cultures in the world respect the rhythm of nature, of light and dark cycles. But now we almost have a nature deficit. We have to pay attention to this, the need for nature, for healing. And that too, how we see the beauty of art in nature everywhere we look. I'm looking out my window right now and see the beauty of these leaves unfolding almost as I look and see them as the sun opens up the beauty of these trees and flowers unfolding in my midst, coming from the dark cycle. And of course, the other universality that we all share, that's another way of expressing our artistry, their being and becoming more human, is the need for silence and sound. And all true prayer really is silence and emptying out our mind beyond words. That too touches the art and the artistry in us and our humanity. But we also all need sound and song and music and story. So that too is part of a universal need. And they all are expressions of art and the artistry of our humanity in so many diverse ways that can never be captured. There's no end to it because it's drawn upon the creativity of the human spirit and the evolution of our humanity. So it's endless, as Levinas says, it's infinite. It's infinite evolution of the human consciousness and human experience. And so all the vicissitudes and ways in which we can express the dimensions of our humanity are all in play with art and healing. And of course, we all need laughter and fun and play. And that too is playful, the playfulness of art and artistry. We forget ourselves. We forget that mind script and allows us to open up and be joyous. And that too, laughter connects us with our common bond in the moment. And of course, we all need relations, personal and inner and outer, but we have to pay attention in terms of our relations and who we connect ourselves with. And it's not just the outer relations, but our inner relation, our inner attention to our inner monologue. And what is our relation with ourselves? What do we say to ourselves about ourselves? And sometimes we shut down the artist in us. We can't be an artist. But even your most simple things can be a work of art. Just the way you move, the way you eat, the way you prepare yourself, the way you dress, the way you feel, the messages you tell yourself. All of these are about our inner and outer attention for relations and having connections. Arians also points out that we probably need at least 5 relations to make us feel better. But the artistry of writing out, you know, writing and journaling is such a gift that we can offer to ourselves to get in touch with our inner monologue. And that, too, is a work of art, writing down things that we're grateful for example. But I love this one. The next one is we all have the need for invocation. We all have the need to believe, and indigenous cultures around the world all will have some belief in the supernatural and mystery. And again, this is a reflection, a search for meaning, for inspiration, for faith, for praise. And all cultures have some belief in this mystery of life beside, outside of nature, like the Aborigines in Australia who I worked with. They have this dream time as part of their creation story, and almost every culture, not almost, but every culture, has a creation story, which is a work of art in itself, and myths that inspire us and become universal, connecting us, rituals across time and space. So the artistry of our practice can be asking you questions, like for need for invocation. How can we express our need for expressivity through writing, through art, through music, through movement, through unlimited human expressions beyond the body physical and the physical world but contained within it? These are all dimensions of what we engage in when we touch the universality of the shared human experiences that are prevalent in every indigenous culture in the world, including the Western world. But we've shut it off often in the Western world. I was just in South Africa, and I walked into the room where they were all waiting to greet me. And as soon as I approached the doorway, everyone in the room starts joyfully singing this beautiful praise and prayer, a song. It was magnificent. And when I left, they did a song, a prayer of goodbye. And when I worked in with the indigenous, the Maori in Australia, in New Zealand, when you go into the marae, which is their sacred space, you have to be covered, of course, and they sing you onto the Moriah. They're singing to bring their ancestors in. This archetypal lineage of humanity, which connects and bonds us beyond anything and really opens us to that infinity, that sacred circle of life and death, and the endlessness of our shared humanity across time and space. And so more specifically, then moving into some of the work that I've done with caring science and the healing arts through postmodern nursing, in one of my books, I talk about, again, very specifically about the artistry of our humanity. And I specifically use nursing as an ancient feminine archetype because I do think that by honoring the deep dimensions of human caring, it's releasing the sacred feminine dimension of our ways of being more human and connects us and rebalances us with our shared humanity. We all know that our world is very imbalanced today. It's very yang energy. It's all more the yang heavy. And nursing has a responsibility to help sustain our humanity, sustain human caring, to sustain the artistry of our being and becoming more human, to sustain the very humanity for ourselves and our world. I was just in Iceland, actually, about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was there at this amazing conference of global leaders from around the world. I mean, bankers from Switzerland and businessmen from BMW International and world leaders of religious traditions and unbelievable backgrounds of these shared perspectives. And they were all talking about the same issues of returning to our values for our humanity for survival. And inviting us to all consider that global leaders right now, all leaders, have a responsibility to shift their approaches to leadership and work from a place of love and compassion. I was just stunned. This is called a conference. It's an international group called Spirit of Humanity. And it was held in Iceland specifically because Iceland, in a way, represents this search for a moral community, which is embracing the connection with nature and the environment and lack of violence. They don't want any military in their country anymore. You know, there's a whole consciousness of how they wish to sustain their relationship with each other as family. And both the president of Iceland, the former president as well as the former president of Iceland were on that program, as well as the mayor of Reykjavik. And it was just very inspiring to me. Speaking of invocation, it lifted me to a higher level of affirmation to even be exposed to these dimensions of our broader humanity, which the artistry of the archetype of the feminine archetype is what's coming back. That's what that energy was about. It's not about men and women. It's about a rebalancing for our shared humanity. And that, too, is the archetype for the feminine yin that really realigns us with our heart, not just our head. When we work from the head alone, we're only working from ego and fear. We're not working from life force. So the other dimension of nursing and caring science and healing arts that I've written about is the nurse becomes an ontological artist, and I mentioned this before, and that is about the artistry of the way in which we approach our life and our work and the way we integrate arts and all the dimensions of art into our practice, because caring and healing arts and become caring and healing modalities in and of themselves, because we can't heal with just the medical treatment alone. Healing comes, it's an inner journey, it's a soul's journey, and we can never know the journey of another person, but we can help them to find their way through the maze of their illness by tapping into the expressivity of the human soul, which may not ever be able to come out in words alone or in physical symptoms alone, but it can come from the human spirit. And so in this way, the illness might actually be a messenger for, or an initiation in an indigenous cultural way of what we are here to learn. I remember one of the projects we did at the University of Colorado, when I was dean, we had the Denver Nursing Project in Human Caring, and it was a clinic that was based upon the caring theory and these broader approaches of weaving in all these ways of caring healing modalities as arts. And this was for persons who had AIDS or were HIV positive, and it was amazing clinic at that time. And I remember one of the young men saying to me that people think that AIDS means acquired immune deficiency syndrome. He says, but it really means adventure into discovery of self. And it's the artistry, the expressivity, the unconscious that you tap into, the soul's journey, that really can be an initiation and help us to engage in this last doorway to find ways to practice and be back in a right alignment. So a definition of healing is being in right relation with your source, with your inner soul, so to speak, and being in right relation with your heart, aligned with what matters for you. Anytime you have an illness or a sudden life crisis, people return home. They return home to what matters the most to them. And so art and artistry can give us an outlet to get realigned with their own source, their own soul, because the outer world of treatment will take us away from it. One of my colleagues in New Zealand, who's a nurse healer, uses art and artistry very beautifully. And what she does, she works with patients wherever they may be. She works in the home, she works in the hospital, she goes to the clinic, wherever the patient is. But they're usually more long-term illness patient, chronically ill, or they may be terminally ill. And what she does, she sets up two world views for them, two world situations. She'll create an outer world, which might be the hospital and all the physical domain of the treatment and the technology. And then she creates an inner world, which would be what we would call the inner sacred artistry world of our humanity that we often get disconnected from. And so that inner world is a sacred world, and it's represented by flowers or nature or beauty, just small objects. And she works with patients in such a way that she has them identify where they got disconnected from their inner world and how the outer world and the inner world are not necessarily different, distinct. I mean, they're different, but how they're not disconnected. They can be, it's the infinity of bringing them both back into right relation and alignment, like the infinity. And so when people, she has them use a stone moving from the outer world to the inner world and helping them to realign themselves with the inner world. And that too is a work of art. It's a healing art of helping people to learn how to express their own unexpressed alignment with their soul. It's been disconnected, which again goes back to the shamanic version that illness is really loss of soul, and you have to come back into holy alignment, so to speak. So the nurse's ontological artist then is one who's able to actually bring this consciousness, bring these dimensions, find these caring, healing ways of art and artistry, whether it's our way of being or whether it's bringing in all these vicissitudes of possibility for helping people express themselves to capture the inner sacred and the inner soul, the inner processes, the inner journey of the person, so they can become more whole. They're already whole, but they don't know it, and they can come back into their wholeness. And the third frame that I've used in postmodern nursing and caring science is then the nurse becomes an ontological architect. She helps to redesign these healing spaces. And now I've just returned from hospitals in the East Coast, in New Jersey, and then I was also down in Tampa. But the one in New Jersey was such a phenomenon, it was St. Joseph's Hospital. And they have created these healing spaces on every single unit of the hospital, which is quiet space for being able to go into that sacred space. And they've created a spa, and a huge spa. So there's a room for visualization, a room for meditation, a room for acupuncture, a room for acupressure, a room for massage, aromatherapy, and then they have this other room they call the Watson Room, which is it's a healing space that they've created for the nurses just to go into quiet space. And they're engaged in doing what they call pranic healing. And pranic healing is really using the breath of life. That's a Sanskrit meaning of pranic, means breath of life. And we're just breathing, and it is really a way to reconnect with our breath of life and to bring in the energy. The pranic healing energy allows us to, again, realign ourselves with our source to come back into that relation. And again, Alex Gray's artwork reveals that to us, how we can actually be beyond just the physical body and come back into the universality of our connectedness. We're all the same before the physical and after the physical when we look at ourselves as humans. And we think of ourselves as sort of separate and disconnected, but in a caring science model, there's a deeper ethic, which is the starting point for our science and our humanities and our work and our world. And that is referred to as, again, Emmanuel Levinas, I use a lot, where he talks about the ethic of belonging, that we all belong to this infinite source of universal love. And we all come from this space, and we all return to it. And it's the cosmic love energy that we draw upon for connecting with the human spirit. And I have to think that the ontological architecture that nurses are engaged in are helping to create these small and grand spaces, whether it be helping to transform the whole system from the inside out through bringing in the arts. And for example, what Mary did at the Shands Medical Center was an amazing national project. But what happens, it often gets diluted by the traditional conventional Western science and then has to start all over again. But I do think that there's an evolution of human consciousness that's bringing this back, and it's becoming in the forefront of major thinking, because we cannot heal with just the medical treatment and technology alone. And we're highly in need of the rebalancing. And even in an academic model, we can make clear that there's a distinct difference between science and arts and humanities. They certainly interact and they're one infinite field of the whole, but they play very different functions, very important functions that humanities plays and arts play for understanding human experiences and meaning and connecting with people's emotional, intuitive, unconscious experiences and connecting with that inner life force that we don't really allow ourselves time for. It connects us with the imagination and insight, and it's all validated from within. We don't have to have scientific validation to validate our human experiences. Any human experience you have can be considered valid and worthy of human experiences and expressions for our healing. So we share these human tasks across time. And I'm just going to maybe bring some closure here with this, that these human tasks that we all share that tap into the need for art and artistry and all the ways in which it can be expressed, is that we all have this task of healing our relations with ourselves and each other and nature now. So again, this process of how we tap into the human spirit and come back into right relation with ourselves to be in right relation with others and with our nature, with Mother Nature, is a critical dimension of our work in the world. Again, back to the Iceland conference, they were acknowledging that we all have a responsibility today to work to serve the world. Whatever we may do in grand or small ways, we have a responsibility to work to heal the world and to help us with this new, avoiding the totalizing of our humanity and our planet. We also have a shared task of indigenous cultures across time is some ways of understanding human suffering. And how do we learn to transform and find meaning between pain and suffering? And art and artistry can help connect that, to find the meaning, to be in right relation, to actually be healed even though you may be dying, because you're coming back into connecting with that which gives meaning to your life and death. And of course, another task is to find deeper meaning in life. And why are we here? What is our relation with the divine, with the infinite field of love? And some say our biggest task now, I think maybe even Einstein said that we have to recover a sense of awe and reverence and open hearts and joy, allow us to deal with our suffering and our pain in our shared human experiences by having compassion is maybe one of their greatest accomplishments. So finding deeper meaning in life and therefore finding deeper meaning in death and seeing this as a sacred life, sacred circle of life. And so some of the projects that we're involved in, and Mary's been in doing this with another colleague, Taryn Estes, is creating these experiences for the public as well as for patients of conscious dying to allow us to enter into that sacred passage of a mystery and be conscious and intentional about how you engage in your own process of the sacred circle. And then, of course, the last task I've written about is having to remember, why are we here? Why did we come to the earth plane? What is our gift and our destiny? What are we called to do to serve the world? So these are all activities that invite us into recreating rituals through art, and rituals help us to engage in these universals of life and death and birth and marriage and initiation and so forth that we all experience in caring and healing practices as health practitioners, as nurses, or even maybe even in education. So ultimately, I think we are here to learn about love, to express love, and to reveal the unity of our shared humanity, but also the light-dark cycles. And perhaps it might be the last doorway of our humanity to learn to express and to engage in these healing arts and these healing practices as a way to realign ourselves in our world at this point in time. So I think I'm going to pause and take a deep breath and invite the listeners to also just gently breathe and release and be reminded that just breathing, we're breathing in the breath of life and releasing, we're allowing ourselves to connect with that still point, that void between the breaths which connects us with source and spirit, imagination and creativity that brings out the art and the artistry in each of us. Thank you so much for letting me be with you this evening.
Thank you so much, Jean. That was wonderful.
Thank you, Jean.
Mary, would you like to add anything? Do you have any questions for Jean?
I just want to thank Jean for being the inspiration of my work and my life, and that, you know, when I listen to you, it resonates so deeply in such a deepest understanding. And when you ask to remember why we are here, I realize that my work is actually an opportunity to remember, and bringing healing with the arts and having it embraced by caring science is exactly where it needs to be. And I want to thank you for the inspiration. I want to thank you for the guidance and the wisdom that you've brought to the world. And
my honor, Mary, and you inspire me. So thank you for the privilege of being with you and sharing this special program that invites so many others to really engage in this work and inspire all of us for a higher dimension or maybe a deeper dimension of our humanity.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless.
And if I can just add one thing before we go.
Yes.
For those of you who'd like to get in touch with Jean or learn more about her, could you give us the address of your website, Jean, and how people can contact you?
Yes, it's WatsonCaringScience, one word, .org. WatsonCaringScience.org.
And what's wonderful about the Watson Caring Science website is there are tremendous resources for many programs and educational programs and the work that Dr. Watson is doing in hospitals all over the world. And you can also... she's doing a global pilgrimage all over the world in bringing caring science to people worldwide. So you have an opportunity to share with her the journeys that she's taking. So I encourage everyone to go on her website and accompany her on the walk that she's doing around the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And thank you again, Dr. Watson, for being part of Healing with the Arts and all of the wonderful and amazing work that you do. Thank you so much.
Okay, all the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.